Support for Spookfound Spotlight is provided by the City of Maryville, featuring a conference center at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, offering a destination for wedding receptions, parties, reunions, and more. Details on availability and accommodations are at mazingolake.com. And from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing in Maryville, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years. Kawasaki has employment opportunities available now for all three shifts, weekends, and full and part-time. For more information, KawasakiMaryville.com.
Welcome back to Spoofhound Spotlight here on KXCV KRNW. I'm your host, Jeremy Warner, and joining me, as he does for every Spoofhound Spotlight episode, is the superintendent of the Maryville R2 School District, Dr. Logan Lightfoot. So looking back at the 23-24 school year, what are your biggest takeaways, you know, the biggest things that happen, things that, you know, you think years down the line people will say, oh yeah, that was the year, or, you know, anything else that really sticks out about this past school year?
You know, it's pretty fun. It's always fun to reflect back on a school year, but Jeremy, I don't know. When I think about this year, we've had a lot of, I would say, really important things happen. But probably most importantly, our kids have been able to accomplish so much this school year. And you talk about on the athletic field, you talk about in the classroom, extracurriculars. Our kids have absolutely shown what Maryville is and represent our community very well. So I guess I don't want to answer your question vaguely, but I'm kind of thinking through it. Probably the first thing that comes to mind, and this isn't something necessarily that people are going to remember for this particular year, but you know, we had our board meeting last night, and we said goodbye to a fantastic group of educators. And it's their time to be able to retire and enjoy life post K-12 teaching and administration. But boy, the contributions that group has made to our kids and to our community is just incredible. And I don't want to go through and name each one individually for fear I might miss one or, you know, might not give someone recognition they really deserve. But just I want to thank those folks that have dedicated 20, 30 plus years to Maryville kids and the Maryville community.
And is there anything from this past year you're taking away and putting towards in the future? I know the bond was maybe the biggest issue that, you know, is propelling the district forward, but is there anything else that happened this year that you're kind of taking away and putting into the plan going forward that, you know, maybe you hadn't seen before, maybe was brought to your attention, or maybe just happened and you're like, oh, that's a happy accident, and, you know.
I love the Bob Ross reference, by
yeah.
the way. You know, I obviously when you talk about the bond, but again, probably not something very tangible, but the incredible community support that our school district receives. And this is nothing new. I mean, our community has such a history of supporting our school district, but, you know, you talk about the bond passage was certainly wonderful, but just ways that our community reaches out to make sure that we have everything we need to do the best we can to educate our kids. Not new to our community, but for me as a person, you know, my second year in the school district, just the realization that, you know, spending the last 6 months preparing for a large building project, you know, preparing for our future, not just with building, but with personnel and staffing, and how incredibly supportive our community is. That just, for me, peace of mind when you talk about our CSIP, our strategic plan, those kinds of things. It's not perfunctory. We put our community in the fold for our plans because of the great support we get and the great outcomes we get for our kids. So I think about that. You know, I think about at the secondary level, I'm really excited we're going to be able to launch CAPS next year. And that's a program where, you know, it's a non-traditional, you know, you're not sitting in a classroom seat necessarily every single day for 7 hours a day. You get some time as a junior or senior to go out in the community. But that program really is meant to showcase some of the great things about Maryville and Nottoway County, put our kids in some real life work situations, and have them add value to those workplaces and to our community. So I'm really excited to start that for sure.
Okay. And, you know, speaking of the bond, two groundbreakings this month. I'll be honest, I don't remember a time in my life where there's been two groundbreakings by an organization, much less a school district. But, you know, the two groundbreakings back to back, and then, you know, I think there is that excitement because, you know, last time we talked and for the past month, people have been able to see the giant scoreboard that's been sitting in the parking lot over the past few weeks. Fields been worked on. What is the timeline? Is the scoreboard going to be done before next school year's Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, great question. So, and it's it's certainly a time of great excitement in our school district. A lot of nervousness as well. I mean, when you talk about the projects we're going to be doing, and next year we're certainly all going to have to be very flexible. And I know we've got a great staff that'll rise to the occasion. But nonetheless, it's pretty, as a teacher, as a staff member, that can be a little nerve wracking. So we've spent about the last month packing. And so elementary school is packing to move to their new rooms or move over to the tech school. The tech school is preparing for our teachers and our kids. And so that's been kind of, it's been fun to watch, to see us kind of come together to do that. But when you ask about timeline, I'll start with our athletic fields, because those are the first things to get touched, because frankly, that's the easiest. We're not having to move kids out anywhere. It's an outdoor deal. So we've started on the fields. We call it base building. So for the baseball, softball, and then football, soccer stadium also, one of the most important things you can do when you turf a field is you have to have a very good base. And so we've hired a base contractor that they have a great reputation, and they've actually started that, and they're going to be working on that base, and they're going to turn that over to turf about the second week in July. And once the turf installers get that, they're going to move on. The base piece is you want to make sure that your field obviously has the proper drainage and that your field is even, and they do all that, you know, to precision. And with base building also, we're going to be getting a new outer fence for baseball. And then softball will have a temporary fence, you know, between the infield and outfield. And what will be kind of neat too is the old backstop on the baseball field there that comes down, and in its place is going to be netting. And so it's going to definitely have a much newer look, and it's also going to be safer for spectators as well. We do anticipate all those fields being ready to go for competition. Our goal is to have everything done with both fields in August. And then the scoreboard, we're thrilled about that. We're actually the video board for football, soccer. That should probably be up and functional early summer. And then we're also, with that purchase, we also were able to get a new baseball scoreboard, not a video board, but a scoreboard, and that'll be installed later this summer as well.
Okay. So I have a few kind of, I guess, follow-up questions in mind. The first, you know, having some of the nicest fields now in Maryville in the Northwest area, what does that mean, you know, for the district? I should say maybe not football because it's Northwest, but, you know, everything else, some of the nicest fields now, some of the, you know, newest fields. What does that mean in terms of, you know, not only that ability sports-wise, but maybe even, like, you know, event-wise in the future?
Yeah, well, and that, you bring up a great point with that. One thing we talked about as a staff, and it kind of became a little bit of a mantra of mine, is we have championship kids, and championship kids deserve championship facilities. And that's not just with sports, that's with everything. K through 12, we want the best for our kids. Sports specifically, yeah, I think that's going to open us up to a lot of opportunities. I'm really excited. You know, obviously, that's going to support our high school and middle school athletics, and that's wonderful. But you think of all the other opportunities, like in the summertime, for example, all the camps we're going to be able to run, you know, younger teams with baseball, with softball, those kinds of things. And that, frankly, that brings people into Maryville. And people come to Maryville for a weekend for a tournament, or people come to, you know, spend all day on a Saturday. They're going to be around our facilities and experience great facilities, but they're going to, you know, shop at our stores, eat at our restaurants. And so we really feel like that's going to be a nice value add for our community as well.
Okay. And the other thing, and this is like a 7-year-old question in my brain, but the ceremonial shovels for groundbreaking.
Yes.
Where do those come from, and what happens to them once they're used?
You ask a very good question. That actually, we have 10 shovels coming from J.E. Dunn, and we're looking for a couple. There's a couple other folks in town that do have those ceremonial shovels. If we have to borrow a few extra, we'll certainly give those back to those folks, but we will probably take the shovels that we get from J.E. Dunn, and those are going to be put around the school district, maybe in a couple of cases and things like that, to kind of commemorate a great event.
I've always wondered that.
Yeah, no, good question. And they hopefully will not end up in a garage somewhere.
Well, it's not like, you know, common. It's only knowledge for people who use them. So, covering news in KC for years, I remember just like all the time, like, okay, is there just one guy who owns a store? It's just like ceremonial shovels. Like, where are these coming from? But you said there's people in town that had them.
Yeah, we've got a couple of folks in town that have done groundbreakings before and have offered, which is another great example of support for our community. Just little details like that. Hey, know you're doing a groundbreaking. If you need some extra shovels, give me a call.
Really?
Yeah.
That just okay. You know, I guess, you know, if you're going to have something unique in your garage, why not a shovel that's truly only used for that?
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, we keep talking about the future and, you know, the fact that the 23-24 school year is over. But, you know, in a lot of ways, it's not officially over, I guess, in a lot of ways, because summer school is just around the corner. What kind of preparations need to be done before the start of summer school?
Yeah, the old Marine Corps adage, Semper Gumby, is what I used to have an old principal say, always flexible. And we are in Semper Gumby mode right now. Summer school is a great example of that. We are actually moving summer school from Eugene Field over to the middle school. Eugene Field, J.E. Dunn actually takes over that building on June the 3rd and begins construction over there. And so we want to give them the whole summer to be able to get everything ready to go for the fall. And so we've got about 185 students signed up for summer school, and which is a great number, especially considering we're actually having to shrink the grades a little bit. Just because of the availability in the middle school facilities, we want to make sure it's appropriate for the kids going there. So we've got about 185 kids signed up. We will start at the beginning of June, and we'll actually wrap up, don't hold me to this date, but I want to say right around June the 17th is our last summer school day right around there. So we've got a great program. We're doing a little bit different than Summer Journey because we just with the timing and everything like that, but locally created curriculum by our teachers, some really high interest stuff and some things that are really going to provide some great year-round support for our kids. We've got some reading support, some math support, and, you know, frankly, you've got to have some fun in summer school as well, and we've got some things planned for that also.
Okay. I mean, I've done this, you know, a few years now, but, you know, talking about summer school, it's always interesting to me because, you know, the entire school year is just wall-to-wall planning and executing, and it sounds like summer school is the same way, but a lot more kind of laid back in a way, if that makes sense, or am I completely off base with that?
No, I don't think you're off base at all. That's kind of the nice thing. You know, our teachers are able to, it's a little bit more of a relaxed environment for sure, and, you know, you're able to maybe have some of those kids that some of our teachers don't see every single day and get, you know, see a new face and a new kid and new teachers, those kinds of things. And, you know, you'll have summer school days planned to where you might have a water balloon fight or you might go over to the splash pad or, you know, those kinds of things that you don't really get to do in a school year normally. But it's a way to certainly continue some very important learning and build some great foundation, but also, like I said, to have a little bit of fun as well.
Is the water balloon fight in the school, or is that outside?
That would have to go outside, yes.
Okay. Figured I'd ask because there was a water balloon fight, not in my middle or high or element. It was at Northwest. We had there was a water balloon fight one day in our floor. Although it's in a building that's no longer on campus. But, yeah, we had a water balloon fight, and let's just say the carpet was a mess.
I could imagine. Was that Phillips Hall?
Yes.
All right. I'm 413 Phillips.
Really?
Yes.
I was 219.
All right. I was 413 Phillips, and that was in the 90s, and yeah.
It's weird we remember that, right?
Isn't that crazy? I still remember my S number, my student number.
Oh, when I first got hired back here, they were like, oh, do you remember your 919? I'm like, oh, yeah, I do. I still remember my locker combination for high school, even.
That's impressive. I do not remember that.
It was 35-45-5. It was very easy. That's why. You know, because, you know, there's probably people who have like 16, 32, and then 7. And but mine, nope, just fives.
You know, funny story about lockers. My first job, I was a middle school assistant principal, and we had 750 lockers in this middle school.
Holy crap!
And I can tell you that to the I know that to the exact number because when you open up lockers, there's a little mechanism on the back, and you press a button, and if you turn the dial pad a certain way, it resets to the next generation of combinations. And there were three different generations of combinations on each one of those lockers. And my first job for the summer, every single summer I was that assistant principal, was to change the generations on 750 lockers. So no kid could come back and get into his old locker from the previous year.
So you're saying I can't get into my old... I don't know if I can remember where my old locker is, that being said.
The fact you know the combination is very impressive.
I mean, it helps when it's all intervals of five. anything else going on in the school district?
You know, I just want to... Just plenty of shout-outs to our staff and our kids. I mean, if you look at just over the last couple of weeks, athletics activities-wise, we've got a tennis team with Coach McGinnis that this is the first time in school history the team's qualified for state, so super proud of them. Track, boys won districts, sectionals, girls won districts. We're sending 30 kids to state track and just super excited about that. Soccer team competing for a district title once again. Had a great spring in the sports wise, and just, I mean, a lot of great things going on. I highlight high school sports, but there's so many more things that are going on that are just great things for kids. And you think about May and how stressful it is in the times for teachers, but boy, do they! I mean, you could walk in there, you know, whether it's the last day of school or in March or February, our kids are on task and our kids are learning, and so that's a testament to our teachers.
And maybe this is just my viewpoint, but, you know, I always feel like some people kind of forget that spring sports, just like football, you know, football, they have to come before the start of school, get prepared. And a lot of times in spring sports, they have to keep going through the end of classes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's really impressive to me to, you know, not only have that focus, but focus on not monstrous, but big tasks.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, if that's it that's going on in the district, we'll go ahead and switch to the part of the show where we get to know you a little bit better by asking you some inane random questions. And the one I feel like I've had this a while, but I'm not sure. And this is something, you know, I guess I kind of, I'll just say it. Anyway, who plays you in a movie? And... when I say movie, I'm thinking, you know, either a biopic on a scale of maybe something Steven Spielberg's Lincoln to Weird Al the Yankovic story, where it's just either extremely truthful or extremely insane. When I think of who would play me, for people who've never probably seen me, I'm a heavier guy, so I would say I have a very indie pick. It's Paul Walter Chosen, I think his name is. He's a bigger guy. People would probably... he's on a Apple TV show where he's a person in jail being interviewed. He's on I Think You Should Leave, which is a sketch show on Netflix. People would know him because Jamie Taco keeps stealing his lines. That's like the indie pick. But I would have to also go with a John Goodman during his heavier years.
Nice.
If I wanted someone to play me. When I was young, I was actually thin, so I can't think of a kind of chubby child actor from, like, It or something.
I'm going to go the more humorous route. Larry David.
Really?
Yes, and I say this, kind of the running joke with my wife and my family is, if you ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some of the most random things happen to Larry. And I mean, some of the most bizarre, out-of-this-world things just happened to just jump right on my plate. And so I would probably say Larry David. And sometimes I handle it about as well as Larry does. So definitely I'd go with Larry David.
Have you invented your own kind of vocabulary or dictionary of just random things in life?
Oh, I got plenty. Yes, absolutely.
And for people who don't know, for instance, in the first episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, he gets a pants tent. It's when your jeans or pants bunch up around your crotch region. And it's like, why is there a tent there?
The pants tent. Yes, I've got plenty of those sayings. Just really, and I don't know why, if I intentionally invited or not, but just the most bizarre life situations seem to just happen.
Huh? And any that you can tell us that's safe to hear?
Oh, there's probably a couple that I'll save for family and friends because it's a little bit, it's embarrassing, but funny nonetheless.
Okay. Second thing, and you know, we all kind of have this, but what's one thing you see amongst, you know, younger generations that they do that you are going to be like, one day you're going to look back and go, ugh, why'd I do that? And for me, like, because I don't know anybody, I know a few young people because I have friends with kids, but like, I think to, you know, when I was a kid and, you know, the whole like JNCO jeans and the terrible hats and just like wearing chains, all like just looking like a bunch of loose fitting garbage clothes dressing up. Yeah. That's the one thing I look back on and I go, that was really a terrible fashion. I don't know why we all thought that was a great idea from grade 7 through 12.
I'm going to have to go with the fake glasses. Like the people, like, you know, the one, like you wear glasses without, like with just the rims.
What?
Oh, I've noticed that. Yeah, that's a thing.
And, it is?
Yeah. And that's one where I'm kind of, no matter who, like, you're going to look back and think, why in the world did you do that?
Yeah. Like.
But glasses is a fashion statement, like just the rims.
I guess I get it. I want glasses to look good, but I also need glasses.
Yeah. That's probably the one. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Is that like the modern? Yeah, okay, so you know there's like some people who want a top hat and a cane.
Yeah.
Is that like that?
Maybe. And I'll go another. When you see people in June and July, and it's usually younger, you know, high school age kids that wear beanies in the summertime. I've never gotten that one either.
Really? That just makes your hair sweatier.
That's kind of what I thought too. But okay. Hey, I'm a little practical sometimes.
I guess so. Has there been like a fashion thing that you just like have seen and you're like, why? Like I had a friend who, like I got the sentiment. He wanted a pocket watch on a chain that he could just pull out and go, ooh, what's the time? And then after a year, it just got old and he quit using it. And I think he lost. Because we all have an ability to see it. Like you and I, our phones are out right now. We can click and go, it's 9:29.
Yes.
Like we don't need a pocket watch. Like it looks cool, but like the usability of it, that's the only thing it can do.
Yeah. Not the idea of a pocket watch. Pretty cool though.
It is.
I'd be okay with the pocket watch.
I'm more of the cane and, you know, top hat guy. it looks stupid, but classy. It's like the people who put their pinky out when they like, you know, have a drink or something.
Anytime you can add a little class, nothing wrong with that.
Is there anyone who does a monocle? Like Mr. Peanut?
Yeah, I've not seen that.
Okay. Well, you said students were wearing fake glasses, so yes. It made me wonder if there was a fake monocle.
I've not seen a fake monocle. That would be...
You also are Larry David, so I was wondering if you had some moment where someone was wearing a monocle and you're like, what's the point? You can see out of one eye, but not the other?
No, I've not seen that. But yeah, if someone brought back the monocle, that'd be all right.
I mean, it's bound to happen. That'll probably be a question one day, but there's just so many weird things that have come back, and I'm like, really? What? Why is this? Like, mom jeans.
Ah, yes, that's back.
Like, those, like, I thought it was weird, but I was like, it's not a terrible look.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, whatever. It's weird that it's made a comeback.
It is a little bit.
Kind of like all the music from my generation, you know, new metal, has come back, and it's like, really? This was really hated. Like, people blamed it for it ruining Woodstock, even. I don't know. Well, Logan, thanks for joining me. Anything else?
No, Jeremy, as always, great to be on and great to brag about our school district because there's plenty to brag about.
Support for Spoofhound Spotlight comes from Kawasaki Motors Manufacturing, producing gas-powered engines for lawn and garden equipment for over 30 years, thanks to the workforce at its Maryville plant. Employment opportunities at Kawasaki are available now. For information on careers, kawasakimaryville.com. Also from the city of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Golf offerings at Mazingo Lake include the Seacrest 18, the Watson 9, and golf simulators open year-round in the Conference Center. Details on tee times are available at mazingolake.com.